You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break Edition podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking at some buy low and sell high type players, as well as looking at potential trade deadline moves and the fantasy implications for a few teams in the NBA: the Denver Nuggets, the Detroit Pistons, the Golden State Warriors, and the Houston Rockets. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
All right, guys, let's take a look at some players who may be underperforming or overperforming and try and work out some buy low, sell high type of scenarios for these guys. We'll start where we always do when I do these little shows, is the underperforming players. Andy Wiggins is the 281st ranked player over the last 2 weeks. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody who has him on their team. The large portion of this is he is just shooting at an absolutely horrendous rate. 37% from the field and 54% from the free throw line. They are two absolutely massive negatives. The 15 points is nice. The 6 rebounds, yeah, pretty okay. And in fact, that, the threes, the rebounds, the threes, and the points are all bang on, you know, average fantasy contributions. He gets no assists, no steals, no blocks, and then the big negatives in percentages is what drops him down from being a standard league player. Now, in a 10-team league, if he's only scoring 15 points a game, then he's a hard guy to hold. But of course, when your field goal percentage and your free throw percentage is down that much, that impacts points. So he gets back to 42, 43%, let's say, from the field. He goes back to 70% from the line. Then that's 15.9 points. That goes back to 18 points, and it becomes a larger positive. So while in 10-team leagues he's probably a borderline guy, the person who has Wiggins at the moment is no doubt frustrated. You could throw your worst player at whoever has Wiggins, I believe, and you might be able to get some traction on a deal. And that sort of shooting, nobody shoots that poorly. Like, nobody, unless your name is Lonzo Ball, nobody shoots that poorly. So those numbers are bound to come back up for Wiggo. 253 is Reggie Jackson. Not the greatest performance from him. And like Wiggins, it's fueled by 32% shooting from the field. He's never been a high assists or threes or steals sort of guy, but that field goal percentage could jump 10 percentage points, and that gives him another 2 or 3 points per game. Takes him from 9 points up to 12 points. Maybe he gets to 4 assists. Maybe he gets to 1.6 threes. Maybe that's a little bit of a long shot. I'm not getting to the line at all as well. I'm not saying that he's a must roster sort of a player. He's that fringe 12-team league guy. Maybe you consider him along with, say, DJ Augustin. Maybe you have Alfred Payton in that mix as well as that back-end 12-team league point guard. But if you are looking for point guard help, now is the time to try and get Reggie Jackson, because that rank is very, very low. Talked about DeMar DeRozan a lot on the pod over the last couple of weeks. He's the 242nd ranked player over the last 2 weeks, averaging just 13 points per game on 35% shooting. And for him, an extraordinarily uncharacteristic 53% from the line. Now, I don't think he's got any chance of going back to that guy he was for the first month of the season where he was a top 20 player. He's more of a guy in the 50 to 70 type range, I believe, DeMar DeRozan. But these numbers will improve. He's only getting to the line under 3 times per game, which is unbelievably low for him. The field goal percentage has got a 10 percentage point rise in it. The free throw percentage has got a 30 percentage point rise in it. The 3-point percentage is dreadful. He's at about 12% this season. That's obviously horrendous, but he's getting 6 rebounds and 6 assists per game. And if you get those percentages up to anywhere close to normal, then he's going to skyrocket back into the top 100, back into the top 80, and maybe back into the top 50, although that is probably a bit of a stretch. He's probably the number one buy low guy at the moment. Hassan Whiteside, his free throws are an absolute disaster. He is at 22% over the last 5 games, comes in as the 226th ranked player, averaging 10 and 9 with 1.4 blocks. The 67% from the field is nice. The 1.4 blocks are nice. The 9 rebounds are nice. The minutes are a concern. There's been some bad matchups for Whiteside lately against teams where Bam Adebayo is a preferable option. And that free throws, like if you're punting free throws, then he can jump 100 spots just through that alone, because that is a monster negative. For example, that Z score for that category is a negative 5.21. That is Andre Drummond 2 years ago bad. That's how poor those numbers are. So if you are in a punt free throw type scenario trying to acquire Whiteside at the moment, you'll never be able to get him any cheaper than this, I don't think. Number 174, an underperforming guy, is Serge Ibaka of the Toronto Raptors. His free throws are well down as well, 64% over the last 2 weeks, averaging 17 and 7, and the blocks have disappeared. 0.7 blocks. Like DeRozan, the elevated performance we saw from Ibaka to begin the season didn't feel real to me, and I didn't think it would continue. It swung too far in the other direction now. He's getting back, though, more to that guy that we saw struggle through so much of last season, inability to block shots, the efficiency, the low scoring. He's not hitting threes. There's no assists or steals, which has been pretty consistent with Ibaka's numbers through his career. But he is better than what he currently looks like at the moment. Those free throws, he's better than that. And he will block more shots than this. So he is a bit of a buy it low player. Zach LaVine and Chris Middleton, because they're my next two guys. Number 137 is Zach LaVine. Number 135 is Chris Middleton. Both of those guys have room to improve. They're shooting an identical 40.2% from the field during the last seven games, but only playing 30 minutes each. LaVine because the Bulls are getting spanked, Middleton because the Bucks are doing the spanking. So how can they get better than this? Well, they can shoot better than this for a start. We've seen LaVine have a strong stretch to begin the season, a 44-45% type of run, and Middleton at times has been a 46-47% guy. Now, I'm a little bit worried about Middleton, who is really struggling this season or over the last month or so. But I think both of these guys are pretty rock-solid top 100 players, and getting them at the moment is, it's probably the easiest sort of move you can make to get them, especially that with Middleton, whose numbers have been quite repressed of late. I think you can get him for a... Now, I don't think he's getting back to a top 30 guy, which he's been in the past, but I think he can exceed the value that we've currently got him at. 124th is Victor Oladipo. So much of this is the percentages as well, 37 from the field and 61 from the line, but also hasn't blocked a shot in his last six games. He's played just 30 minutes and only 1.7 steals. And I say only because he was a top 12 guy last year because he was getting 2.5 steals and 0.8 or 0.9 blocks per game. Pair all those things together, and I've banged that drum so much, is that a drop in steals by what looks like a minimal amount causes your ranking to absolutely plummet, and we're seeing that with Oladipo. Don't consider him a top 10 guy or a top 20 guy, or really at this point maybe even a top 30 guy, but he's better than 124th, and this is really the buy low time for him. Whoever has him is going to be extraordinarily frustrated. I can guarantee you that, because I've heard of people who have been attempting to trade him for Buddy Hield and then getting rejected. And again, if I had Buddy Hield and someone said, here's Victor Oladipo, that is an automatic smash on the accept, because he will be better and those percentages will come up. Although, I will say this about Oladipo, the knee injury, it's a little bit of a worry. It's definitely a worry. And then the last underperforming guy that I do want to talk about is the 97th ranked player, and that's Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. He's averaging 20 points per game, but shooting just 26% from three, meaning 1.5 threes per game only. This was a guy that, yeah, from the very moment he came into the NBA, people were anointing him. Oh man, he's an awesome shooter. He's Klay Thompson. And he wasn't. Last year, he shot the ball well from three. But that's one season in his career where he shot the ball well from three. And you can give me arguments, he's got no help. He takes bad shots, contested shots, pull-up shots, because he has to in the offense. And all of that is true to a degree. But he's also had one good three-point shooting season and three not good ones. And that's a little bit concerning. Now, he's still averaging 20 points per game and 7 assists, no steals. 0.2 steals is a disgustingly low number. 45 from the field, though, is a pretty strong number, and these two-pointers are going in. So I do think that Booker can push back to top 30, maybe top 20 value, and at the moment, it's the best time to try and acquire him, because he is in a little bit of a slump, and he's acting like a bit of a dick. So there's a little bit of negative value there on Booker. On the other side of things, the underperforming players... overperforming, so sell high guys. D'Angelo Russell at number 11, 27 points per game, and doing it without taking free throws on 52% shooting and 49 from three. We know that's going to come down. His minutes can fluctuate. I think he can be a top 40 guy. I don't think he can be a top 12 guy. So there's some sell high potential there with D'Angelo Russell. Klay Thompson, I talked about that a little bit yesterday as well. He's number 17 over the last 2 weeks. He's shooting 53% from three and 56% overall from the field. And while he's a great shooter, literally nobody is that great of a shooter. So those numbers will come down and he'll start regressing into that top 50, top 60-ish type of range, I believe, for Klay Thompson. Number 19, LaMarcus Aldridge. The efficiency, now he's always been a legendary efficiency guy. 53 and 87 is great. But what's happening here is he's got a usage of 31%. And when DeMar DeRozan, it's sort of an inverse relationship, when DeRozan's numbers and form starts to improve, then Aldridge's usage will drop back down and that'll push him out of the top 20 and maybe down to the top 50 sort of a range. So any sort of top 20, top 25 numbers you can get back from Aldridge, again, it always depends on your team, because you might say, that's great, let me get Drew Holiday there, but then it completely screws up your team balance. It's not a good win. It's got to be the right sort of a guy. Number 34 is Brook Lopez. We love what Lopez has done this season, but 3.6 blocks with 53% shooting, including 43% from three, is unrealistic to maintain. He's probably a 50 to 70 type of player. 3.6 blocks is just, it just won't stick, and that's what he's doing at the moment. He's had a 5 and 6 block game in the last 2 weeks, which is really fueling those numbers. So that's a guy maybe you could turn into a bit of a sell high. And same with Dazza Collison of the Indiana Pacers. He's only playing 27 minutes a night, but 2.2 steals with 6 assists on 91% free throw shooting. That's where the value is coming from, assists and steals. He's not a top 50 player, I don't believe. I think 6 assists and 2 steals with 47% from the field is unrealistic. And as we illustrated with Oladipo, if those 2.2 steals go down to a very respectable 1.7, then there's a 30-40 spot drop in rankings. Trevor Ariza is a sell high guy at number 49. He's averaging 5 assists per game. That is not what we think of with Ariza. 18 points on 45% shooting. This is a guy that barely could crack 40 in about the last 4 or 5 seasons, including this one. He's on a little bit of a hot shooting streak, and those assists are complete anomalies. So he's still a 12-team league guy, but there's probably a 30-spot drop here coming for Ariza at some point. And the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma at number 51. 25 points per game, 29% usage, 35 minutes and 49% from the field. There's a lot of red flags there of things that are going to drop when LeBron James returns, especially. Can he maintain 29% usage? It seems unlikely. 25 points per game, 49% shooting, unlikely. So I do think that a 20, 30, 40 spot drop for Kuzma is probably coming up pretty soon. Number 62 and another sell high guy is Thaddeus Young of the Indiana Pacers. 13 and 6.5 he's averaging, but it's 55% from the field, including 63% from three. Now, it's minimal three-point attempts, 1.3 per game, but he's hitting 0.8 of those, hasn't missed a free throw, the steals are still nice, and he is a 12-team league guy. He's not a top 70 type of a player as we move forward. And number 66, not rostered everywhere, but PJ Tucker, that's way too high for Peach. Really, again, 2.4 steals, that's where the value is coming from. Like, once that drops off, and that's got a Z score in the last 2 weeks of 3.23, if that goes back to a normal number, then he's outside the top 100. So he's a steal specialist. If you have him and someone is, you know, interested in a player like, oh, Clint Capella's out, you can get PJ, look at his rank, you do it. Because that level, that 2.4 steals and that sort of level of rank, I don't think is something that he's going to be able to keep up with. All right, guys, let's do a fantasy check-in now on the Denver Nuggets. We're looking at trade deadline type scenarios for this team and whether this team, you know, some trades could come and shake things up. Now, their starting core, I think, is pretty intact. Whether that is Torrey Craig or Will Barton starting at small forward doesn't matter. It's Gary Harris, it's Jamal Murray, it's Barton, it's Millsap, and it's Nikola Jokic, of course. And then you've got some strong bench options. But it is going to get a little bit tight here with Barton and Harris ramping their minutes back up and Isaiah Thomas eventually returning around the All-Star break. What happens here with guys like Thomas, with guys like Malik Beasley, who's played really well, with guys like Monty Morris, with guys like Trey Lyles? Could they look to consolidate some of these players and make a move? I think that's probably the most likely scenario if they do happen to make a trade, is they've just got too many bodies. And while that might seem great from a depth perspective, but you're trying to fit all that stuff in and get these guys minutes without them having an issue. And one of the strengths of this Denver team has been their willingness to be, you know, solid as a team, to care for each other, to have great chemistry. And we've heard that espoused plenty of times from this squad. And you know, introducing a guy like Isaiah Thomas to that mix, does that cause a problem if he's not playing, or if he's, you know, coming in and playing and jacking shots and being terrible and taking shots away from other guys? There's a real concern there. So I think the problem we're going to have is he's probably not going to play before the All-Star break. So that leaves a real question mark as to what happens with this team. So overall, if I had to guess, I'd say that they're not really involved in any sort of trades. But if one move was going to be made, it would be Isaiah Thomas. Whether that is just straight out releasing him or trying to trade him back for, you know, second round pick or something along those lines. But that core, the guys who provide that fantasy value for the Denver Nuggets, I don't really see too much changing. Someone like Malik Beasley, who's been playing really well at the moment, he's going to suffer a drop off. He's averaging, he's the 54th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, shooting 60% from the field. And those two numbers, including 58% from three, those three numbers, I have absolutely zero chance of being able to sustain as Harris and Barton both increase their minutes, and then as Beasley comes back to earth, because he is not, of course, the greatest shooter in NBA history, which is what those numbers would lead you to believe. Let's look at the Detroit Pistons now. Fantasy check-in at trade deadline, sort of a chat on them. Are they likely to make a move? I think they're at a higher chance of making a move than, say, what the Nuggets are. The guy you'd look to there, I think, is Stanley Johnson, who was starting to begin the season but has moved to the bench and has continued to struggle. Again, not shooting the ball well, not doing really what he needs to do. Is that going to have an impact on how this team looks? Probably not, but the way that they're currently going in terms of their starters, you got the Shark Bruce Brown starting alongside Reggie Bullock on the wing, Reggie Jackson in the backcourt, Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. Griffin and Drummond, I don't think, are going anywhere. Jackson, I think they would love to get rid of Reggie Jackson, so he is a possibility. Where he goes, I don't think it really matters if he does get traded. I don't think it makes any difference at all as to what his fantasy value is. He is still that fringe 12-team league guy, as I talked about with the waiver wire, also with the buy low, sell high type of stuff. I don't think that changes too much for him, but of course it would open up an opportunity, and I would assume they would look to get a point guard back in return there. The other moves that could happen, maybe it is Bullock, who is an unrestricted free agent, who's on a really, really nice contract, $2.5 million this season. If they move on from him, then a guy like Luke Kennard, who Casey's showing a little bit more trust in of late, still not fully there, maybe Kennard can move into that starting lineup and be a fantasy viable player over the post-trade deadline period of the season. That's probably the only other thing I can see happening. If Stan Johnson's gone, I don't think that really does anything, you know, to change value. Maybe it helps someone like Kyrie Thomas a little bit for deeper leagues, and it boosts a little bit of the value for Kennard. But Johnson's been playing most of his minutes as a power forward this season. So is that more Glenn Robinson minutes? Is it Henry Allenson getting into the mix? It's not likely to be an impact scenario. But Bullock and Jackson, the two Reggies, they'd be names just to pay attention to, because, again, Bullock could be a really, really useful piece for a contender, and the Pistons might be able to get something of an asset back in exchange for him. All right, trade deadline fantasy check-in for the Golden State Warriors. I can't see it for them. Steph, KD, DeMarcus, Draymond, Klay, they're not going anywhere. And that is where all of the fantasy value gets siphoned up with this team. Couple of guys who are expiring deals, Yunus Jarepko, Kevon Looney, then you got Jordan Bell, who's a restricted free agent. Looney's obviously a key part of their rotation. Bell, there's obviously some distrust and disharmony with him and Steve Kerr at times. They claim to have fixed that situation, but they're not going to trade him. We didn't see them trade Pat McCaw last season. He's a restricted free agent. We're going to have, I think, more issues with that heading into next season. I just don't see any sort of deal on the horizon for this Warriors team whatsoever, and definitely not one that's going to have any sort of impact for fantasy at all. Just have a quick chat on what DeMarcus Cousins can be. I think probably his best case scenario for this season is top 25. I worry a little bit how the efficiency goes. That's something that does bother players as they come back from serious injuries like ACLs and Achilles injuries. So that's probably something that can keep him down, but I'm much more optimistic on what his minutes load is going to be in March. I thought that he'd be still playing 25 minutes a night. I think he's going to be at 30 minutes a night by March, and that's going to push him into that top 30, maybe top 25, top 20 type discussions. But I do worry about maybe not the block numbers, but more the field goal percentage numbers for DeMarcus Cousins. All right, let's take a look at the Houston Rockets. Any trade deadline action coming with this team, I'd be pretty skeptical, although we know Daryl Morey loves a deal. They're the team that benefits more from waiver wire, also buyout type scenarios. They've already got Austin Rivers and Kenneth Faried this season. They've made two trades to clear money away, which makes me a little bit cautious about the moves they're going to make. Michael Carter Williams and Carmelo Anthony have both been traded away for nothing in return to get off money. There is a chance, I think, with Eric Gordon, though, if there was anyone on this team that was going to be dealt, it would be him in a package of some other guys, some other type assets to maybe get a bigger name. So that would be one to watch. And Gordon's that player that we know that when he's playing second offensive banana to James Harden or Chris Paul, then he is a 12-team-like player. When he plays alongside Chris Paul and James Harden, he's not a 12-team guy. So a trade for him could open up a lot more consistency in his role and keep him as that consistent top 100 guy rather than being, hey, I'm a top 60 guy now while someone's out, and then I'm a top 140 guy when everyone's healthy. So he's a name to watch, and obviously with Paul out at the moment and to a lesser extent Capella, Gordon's a guy that you have to roster. And given the fact that Paul will likely be back before the trade deadline, and that could have a dent in Gordon's value, I think there is a decent chance that if a big deal is going to go down, the Rockets would like to get involved in it, and Gordon would be the piece that they would like to include in that, would be my thought on that. Again, it seems unlikely that that is going to be the case, but that would be the scenario. So I think holding him, having him now and just holding through that trade deadline, even when Paul comes back, is probably worth doing just to see if anything does actually go down with Eric Gordon. And that does it for another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break podcast. Make sure you check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network at Locked On NBA Net, and tell your smart speaker to play your favorite podcast by saying play podcast Locked On and then insert team name there, whether it's Locked On Nuggets, Locked On Pistons, Locked On Warriors, or Locked On Rockets. Go follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and give it a 5-star rating. This show over on Apple Podcasts, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.